want you to know exactly how refreshing it is to be in this house tonight. Because for the last 2 weeks, I've been on the road, it'll be 17 days before I get home. And the last two places I've preached, now listen, I don't mean any disrespect. If you go to a little bitty Baptist church out in the country, I'm glad if that's for you. But you ought to be somebody that is called to do a revival there. And they really don't want revival. They just want to have a meeting that they have every year at the same time. And it's like pulling frapped teeth because, now the food's good. Now I ain't going to complain about the food. Amen? But for the last 2 weeks, it's been nothing but spiritual warfare left and right, just walking in. But you know what? We saw God move. We saw the first place we went, we saw 14 people get baptized. And you know what they figured out? They figured out, guess what? If we'll quit pretending that we've all got it figured out and we'll just love the unlovable, God will send the unlovable. Amen? The second place we went, they come in. God literally brought revival into that house. Not because I was speaking, but because I challenged them. Would you just welcome the Holy Spirit? Would you just tell Him, welcome? I mean, isn't it amazing? You know, my wife told me one day, I said, well, baby, aren't you going with me? And I'll never forget what she told me. She looked at me and she said, I don't know. I hadn't been invited. Now, I want to ask you a question today. How many of us in our spiritual life take God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit for granted just like that? And we're like, well, God, where are you at? And He goes, I don't know. I hadn't been invited into any part of your life except Sunday morning when you went to church. I better go on and start preaching because that's meddling right there. Amen. I want you to be in Luke 24. And I'd like for you to find, and I see the time, and I promise I'll be expeditious. I want you to go to Romans chapter 5. No, Joe, it is not the woman at the well, wherever you're at. Romans chapter 5 and Luke 24. We're going to begin in Luke 24. The Lord shared this with me actually this week. I was tired. Any of y'all ever got tired before? I was road foundered, tired. For whatever reason, I've been doing this for 20 years and I've always slept good in hotel rooms. Didn't bother me. I loved the fact that somebody was going to come in and clean up my mess and they weren't going to gripe at me for not making the bed. It didn't bother me at all. But for whatever reason on this particular trip, I haven't slept. So I called Joey and I said, listen, it's 20 hours to the house because I ended up in Ohio. I had to go to Ohio. And I called Joey and I said, it's 20 hours home to Lubbock, but it's 16 hours to your place. And I said, I'm not supposed to be there till Thursday, but I said, I'm tired. I said, can I come to your place and can I just go sit in your pasture with your cattle and can I just sleep in that room? He said, cowboy, he said, you come on. So I went out there the other day, D.A., and I'm going to tell you something. Ain't nothing like watching old mama cows with babies on their side and they're all laid down in this beautiful green grass. You know what? God can heal you up in a place like that, can't He? And the Lord began to speak to me, and I've never preached out of this particular text, but I guess there's a first time for everything, so you get the maiden voyage for it. Luke 24, and I'm going to pray over it. Father, I thank You. It is so vital that these people don't hear me because I'm so flawed and there's so many holes in me, God. I don't want to contaminate what You want to do by putting myself in it. So, Father, I pray tonight that they would not hear me, but, Father, everything that You, I'm begging You that they would hear You. I pray that those that came tonight, and Father, they literally did come in living on their last hope and prayer, that tonight You would remind them that, Father, You haven't left them and You're with them. That's what You came to do. And Father, we thank You and we praise You in Jesus' name. If you agree, would you say amen? Luke 24 and verse 45, if you'll read with me. Says, then He opened their minds so that they could understand the Scriptures and He told them. Now I want to stop here for one brief second. Because D.A., I'm a simpleton. There's some really intellectual people in this place and I'm not one of those. I'm not being falsely humble. I'm just being very honest with you. I was gifted with common sense, but if I took an SAT or ACT test, man, I promise you, y'all would look at me and go, don't ever listen to anything that idiot says again, all right? Because it wouldn't register. Y'all catch what I'm saying? But listen to me. There's nothing in this word that we need to read and pass by. Did y'all notice that it says, and he opened their minds so that they could understand? Listen to me, if you're in this place tonight and you're walking through a time in your life and you're trying to understand some stuff and you're trying to get a grasp on what it is that God's trying to tell you, instead of trying to figure it out with your own intellect and with your own ability and with your own power, I want to just give you a little revelation. If you'll just simply stop and if you'll just look up to heaven and say, God, I'm having trouble understanding where I'm at in life. God, I'm having trouble understanding this word in front of me. God, I'm having trouble understanding what's going on with my kids. Just cry out. You watch. The Holy Spirit will begin to open your mind and he'll begin to speak into you. You want to have revelation? Ask for revelation. You know how many of us go through life and we never ask? All we got to do is ask. Just ask. Let's read on. This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. How many of you know Jesus suffered a miserable death? Y'all understand? Do y'all understand in this place? And I know that most of you probably do. Look, is anybody in this place claustrophobic? Raise your hand. I mean, we're not going to put you in a box, try to get you over it. Okay, let me tell you something. Here's a couple of things that I need you to understand about me. I hate snakes. Okay? I promise you, I'll lose a friendship over a snake if you put it on me, because I'm going to hit you. All right? I don't want to, but I'm scared. All right? And I'm going to be peeing on myself at the same time I'm hitting you, so it ain't going to be good. Okay? I don't like heights. I'm not a big fan of heights. I mean, I can do some of them. It's okay. I can go up into a skyscraper. I'm not, you know, that big of a weenie, but I don't really like them. I'd just soon stay on the ground. God didn't give me wings, so I figured I'd need to be intelligent and just hang out here on the ground. It's okay. But the third thing that I really struggle with is being claustrophobic. When I grew up, like I watched these, y'all ever heard of MMA fighting? I watched some of them boys. Where's the world champion at? I want a shot at the title. No, I'm just kidding. But now listen to me. I watch them suckers get in there and get to fighting, and they get that old boy's head hemmed up, and he's all. Now look, wherever my teeth are, I'm fixing to bite something. Do you understand me? You're gonna let me go. I don't care what part of your body I'm biting, but I'm going to make my teeth touch and you're going to let me go. Because I get this feeling like I can't breathe. When I was growing up, me and my buddies would wrestle. And I said, listen, we can wrestle, but if I ever tap you, you got to let me up. Because I said, we go from a wrestling match to a full-out fight if you don't let me up. Because I said, I don't mean to, but I think I'm dying. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Where you're suffocating? I mean, suffocating is absolutely one of the worst things. I mean, you can't get your air. I used to work in the, and some of y'all think I forgot about my scripture. Just hang tight. I ain't listen to me. I just never went to preaching school. So follow me. I used to work in the open heart room, and then I moved to doing cardiac and vascular ultrasound. So I worked with open heart patients. I worked with people who had heart problems. And I used to watch them, and when I'd walk into the room, I'll never forget, I stepped into this little black man's room one day, and they sent me to do an echocardiogram on him. I can still see him to this day. He had his bed set straight up, and he was on 100% O2 mask, and he was breathing like this. He said, help me. I can't breathe. And my heart broke because I was watching. I stuck my probe down on his chest, and it was just full of fluid, and it had his lungs collapsed down. Now listen to me. His lungs could not expand. I wondered why the Lord would let me see some of that stuff. And that's because when we go to talking about the Christ being crucified, See, if we're not real careful, we can sanctify it and we can make it this real pretty death. And he died on a cross. But the truth of the matter is, his lungs, his chest cavity filled up with fluid, and they compressed his lungs. But every breath that he took, he fought for, because he could not die until the appointed time. So what we're going to talk about tonight, it wasn't something that was sanctified, and it wasn't something that was beautiful. It was an ugly process, because I've seen it in person. And the look in that man's eyes, he was telling me, I need you. I need you to do something, because all this air out here and I can't get none of it. Please help me. And Jesus hung on that cross, and he never did it so that we could have beautiful churches and incredible services. He did it so that we could have a relationship with him. See, when Jesus was hanging on that cross, he didn't do it so that we could have churches with large bank accounts. He did it so that we could have people that large amounts of the Holy Spirit would be invested into, because he knew the job ahead of him was vital for what was ahead of us. Y'all catching this, or am I wasting your time? Now listen, this is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. Now verse 47 is where God really got my attention out there with them old cows. He said, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. And I thought, my God, what have we turned into what he did on that cross? We got people preaching today, if you'll give me X amount of dollars, God will give you X amount back. We got people preaching today, if you'll send me X amount of dollars, I'll send you an anointed spit napkin and you'll be healed in Jesus' name quickly. We got preachers talking about how much, how good they are. And, oh, look at what I've done. Let me tell you something. You're looking at a man and another man and another man that we just flat honored, that he loved us and forgave us for who we were. The word says that it was for forgiveness and repentance to be preached. And if that is exactly what Jesus hung on that cross for, and if that's what he told them to go and tell the people at the very end, folks, in our churches today, we've got to begin to let you know, and I'm letting you know, that you are worthy of forgiveness. And I promise you, you are worthy, and you have the ability to repent. All you got to do is step up with a little courage to do it. Amen. Could you imagine how America would change today if we just simply majored on the majors and minored on the minors, and we just began to let everyone that we meet understand that there is forgiveness for their sins? Could you imagine what would happen if we actually began to teach what true repentance is? True repentance isn't, oh, I want to feel better for a minute. But true repentance is when we come to God and we say, God, here I am. I don't care what happens to me, but I have wounded you. I have offended you. God, I have broken my promise to you. Can you forgive me? I promise you. When you begin to get to that place of repentance, you get to the place of forgiveness. Forgiveness. And if you ever get to forgiveness, you move into victory. And when you move into victory, you grab a hold of what joy is. And then we'll begin to see the body of Christ begin to be what it's called to be, instead of walking around like they're anemic and sick and dying and defeated. If you are born again in this house, you are more than conquerors. You say, Ray, is it really? You really believe that stuff? I can only tell you that I lived it. I cannot talk for you and your relationship. Because to be honest with you, your relationship with God, it really is none of my business. I got enough on my plate keeping Ray in order. Do you understand what I'm telling you? But so let me tell you about Ray. He took someone that was unbelievably broken and had the audacity to believe in me. God has made a living out of believing in broken people. If you're broken in this place tonight and nobody knows it, I need you to know that God believes in you. I give you my word. You look, I go read the word if you want to. Go find it. I'll be proved right. God believes in you. I promise you, you have not sinned so far that you can't find His forgiveness with one batch of repentance. Go with me to Romans 5 and 8 if you would. I'm almost done. Man, I'm doing good too. It's 7:48. I got tickled. Remember I told you I was preaching in little Baptist churches? Well, I'm going to be honest with you. A buddy of mine invited me that owns a big boar stud. And I typically could care less whether people like me or not. I mean, that's just my nature. I grew up fat my whole life, so I don't really care what people think about me. You catching my drift? And when I went into ministry, I just tell it straight. But for whatever reason, I was really boogered that I was going to do something that would cause him trouble. Because he was a deacon at that church, so I was being careful with that clock. About the third night, I'll never forget, the old matriarch of the church. You ever get them on your side? It's on like Donkey Kong. Do you understand? Because ain't nobody going to cross them. She looked at me right in the middle of my sermon today as loud as she said, "If you don't quit looking at that clock, I'm going to beat you half to death. Just go and tell us what God told you to tell us." And I call her and stick them to a bulldog. I said, "Come on. What do y'all know about the Holy Ghost?" I'm just kidding. Boy, they'd have scattered like a covey of quail. Oh, man. I want you to go to Romans 5 and verse 6. You with me? You see, at just the right time. How many of you know we serve a God of perfect timing? Look at me now. Look at me. I am so tired of people telling me, "Oh, I had the biggest coincidence the other day." Can I ask you a question? Listen to me. Any of y'all ever really thought about how insulting that is to a universe-breathing God? That you want to say, "Oh, well, it's just a coincidence." Miss Lisa, you don't think that God knows where you're at? You don't think that God knows what you need? You don't think that when God lets something walk into your path, you think it's just, well, an accident? No. God up in heaven, I don't know how He keeps track of us. I know one thing. He's got somebody full-time on joy. We know that. Amen. But Miss Lisa, whenever somebody comes into your path and they say something and it blesses your soul, that was God saying, "She needs that, and it's just the right time." You see, you may have come to this house tonight, and you may have thought, "Oh, well, it's just another church service. But I don't really think they was talking to me." Or it could be at just the right time you showed up at this place and God showed up at this place because God knew you were coming. Ain't it cool that God set up an appointment with you and only you in this house tonight? He was coming just for you. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. If there's anything that I could change in America today, and I am a nobody, I ain't got no TV show, I don't have millions that follow me. But I'd give anything if we could shed a message across America that the church needs to get over themselves and understand that Christ died for the ungodly. The reason we're here is to reach the broken, the wounded, the hurting. I guarantee you, it would change everything. That while we were yet sinners and while we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now I want you to think about this for just a minute. The next time there is somebody in your life that you're thinking about being judgmental about. The next time you begin to put down the gauntlet and go, oh well, I just don't associate with those kind of people. I want you to ask yourself if those might be the people that Christ died for and you might have been right along with them before the gift of God was in your life. Hello? I wonder what would happen if we truly never lost sight of how blessed we've been. Sometimes the body of Christ reminds me of a few horses I've had in my life. You had to be very careful what you fed those horses, because if you were too good to them and you fed them too much, they would buck you off on your head every time you swung a leg over them. And I'm issuing you a challenge today. Just because God's been putting good feed out for you, please don't begin to think more highly of yourself than what you should. I want you to bow your heads with me and close your eyes. I'm done.